The Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 679. Come, thou almighty comforter, and bring upon thy wings sweet consolation to each soul, that we may praise and sing. Hymn 679.
Let us read together in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 4. The Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 4. And he began again to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no earth, depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit, that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately, and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, Is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all herbs, and it shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? May the Lord bless his word and help us to pray. Gracious and almighty God, we do need the help and influence and power and teaching of thy good spirit, as we are found gathered in thy name, and feelingly, Lord, unable to do the least thing toward our salvation, yet hoping in thy mercy, Lord, and trusting in thy word. For, Lord, thou hast said, even in our gathering this morning, that where two or three shall gather together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. And thou hast said that those that seek shall find. O Lord, if it could please thy majesty to come down this day and to be our helper and our teacher, thou hast lead us into all truth and teach us, even those vital things, that vital truth, as the truth is in Jesus. We pray that we may not be left, O Lord, as a stranger to thee, and Lord, outside of the truth. But Lord, we pray that thou bestow upon us that precious faith, or the true grace of God. Lord, that thou hast make us right, that we may enter in by that door into the narrow way, even here below. For thou art the way, the truth, and the life. Thou art the door, thou hast said, Lord Jesus. And we pray that we may be led by that right way. And we pray, Lord, prove to be that way to that city. Oh, that eternal city, yet out of sight, Lord, and yet thou hast said they will go to prepare a place for us. Or may we be found then, Lord, whilst here below in that way that leadeth to that city of habitation. We pray to be led then this day, Lord, away from ourselves and sin. We pray, Lord, that thou hast subdued the power of sin. We pray that thou wilt take us away from this vain world in our thoughts and imaginations. And we pray, Lord, for that soberness and that spiritual mindedness which is thy gift, that we may sit in those heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank thee for this thy day, and set apart from every other, the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, and we pray thou sanctify it to us by thy presence and spirit, that we may be found, Lord, fittingly apart on this thy day. And we pray for the Spirit. We may be those true worshippers who worship thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, we pray thou hast open our eyes, for we would see Jesus. Or if it could please thy merciful majesty to reveal thyself to us. And remember each soul who is found here this day. Grant, we pray, light upon each pathway. Lord, whatever state and condition the friends have found, do, Lord, speak. We pray thou send forth that quickening power to quicken never-dying souls into divine life. We can only beseech thee, Lord, or where thou hast not begun thy work, for thou knowest all things. Thine eyes are as a flame of fire. We cannot hide from thee. If we are yet in our sins, Lord, yet unrepentant, Lord, and never turn to the living God, in truth, oh, do then begin that work, we pray. Lord, make us right, Lord, and show us, Lord, the truth in the light of eternity. We have need of thee, the pardon of our sins, the washing of them away in the precious blood of Jesus. We pray then, Lord, then begin that work. And Lord, stir that work up, we pray, into a greater exercise. And may we be amongst those who are, Lord, truly seeking thee, though there be much against us, through winds and storms. Oh, do help us, Lord. And we pray for the friends in many needs. Lord, shine upon them, we pray. May there be something in thy house to satisfy that need. Lord, thou knowest, Lord, all that they are passing through. We do pray that thou lift up the downcast, Lord, and do enlighten the darkened ones. Do arise, we pray, for them. Do comfort mourners. And Lord, graciously establish us in the truth as it is in Jesus. Lord, we do remember each friend then before thee here. We do commit them each to thee. And Lord, those unable to be here, we pray for them. Go to them, we pray. And we remember those in affliction, one not here. Lord, through affliction come upon her. We pray, be with her in her home today. Lord, we do lovingly remember then all thy dear people in affliction. Lord, some have to bear much, endure much, suffering, and we pray that thou be with them. And may thy grace prove to be sufficient for them. Lord, all we pray then, whatever their needs be, those who are looking to thee, Lord, for direction, Lord, for thy guidance, do we pray, send it to them. Lord, we do look to thee. If it could please thy majesty, remember all the gatherings of thy people together this day. Lord, do thou dwell amongst us. Lord, by thy Spirit, and send forth, we pray, thy word with power, and do help each of thy true sent servants, Lord, and make it manifest, indeed, that thou hast spoken by them, and if it could please thee, Lord, seal that word by thy Spirit with assurance in the hearts of thy people. Lord, we do need thee in this difficult day. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead us, let them bring us to thy holy hill. O Lord, we would see Jesus. Lord, we pray that thou wilt reveal thyself to us, as poor and wretched and vile as we are. O, we would see Jesus. Lord, we would be thankful for thy continued mercies toward us, the mercies which have brought us safely to thy house, many mercies bestowed, Lord, in these our sinful lives. We would not pass them by. And, Lord, the mercy of having thy word before us, the hope of the gospel, oh, we pray, Lord, seal it to us. Lord, do arise for our help then. Lord, we gather together in thy name as lost and vile sinners. Lord, we gather together empty and vain and vile. Lord, we gather together. Lord, thou knowest worms of the earth. But we do pray that thou hast have compassion upon us, as thou didst have compassion upon the multitudes. Have compassion on us, we pray, and that send us not empty away. And although we have not anything to plead of our own doing, of our own name, we would plead the merits and the name of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and do pray that poor sinners may be helped in and through him. Oh, if it could please thee, Lord, send help, for we would cry, Lord, unto thee, as that woman, Lord, help me. And ask there may be then true help out of Zion. For Christ's sake, amen.
Hymn 973. Not to Sinai's dreadful blaze, but to Zion's throne of grace, by a way marked out with blood, sinners now approach to God. 973.
Let us turn to a verse in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8, and verse 15. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 8, and verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. There is in this parable of the sower so many things which are deeply trying to us, and it must needs be that we come under the searching word of God, for the things of God are concerning our eternity and where we will spend eternity, and not to be trifled with. And it is often then fit for us to be put in the scales, even if we be found wanting. We must come to the light, even if it is painful for us to bear. Well, the Lord Jesus spoke this parable and the good seed, of course, is the precious word of God, the word of the kingdom, the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus. And what a fit introduction did we read in our reading, "Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow." All to take heed, to listen to this instruction, and to behold as the Lord gives sight, for we read clearly, only he can give sight. And what a vivid picture we have, dear friends, in this parable of those who hear the word of the kingdom. Well, the Lord Jesus speaks of those various grounds, describing the various people. And this must be the first and foremost way in which we take these words, the various different people who come under the sound of the truth. And yet, we will find, even in the hearts of true believers, who will be found in our text, will certainly know what it is to have the condition of these other grounds solemnly from time to time. Well, this sower went out to sow, and it is God's will that the gospel of Jesus Christ should be preached at the end of time unto all nations, kindreds, tribes and tongue. And he will have a people in all places. And they are born again by the word of God, whom the Apostle Peter speaks of being begotten not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, by the word of God, he said, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Being born again by this incorruptible seed of the word of God. There is then, dear friends, such a, by the Spirit, a renewing and regenerating power as the soul of God's people receive the word by faith. You see, friends, a sad case that is with us by nature. And we would pass through these things for our own instruction. Well, there was that seed which fell upon the wayside. And Satan came and devoured it up. It took it immediately out of their hearts. Oh, friends, you see, many, and it is with us by nature, under the power of evil, under the dominion of Satan, the word of God is quickly snatched by him. And they continue as ever they did, hardened in trespasses and in sins. And then there are those indeed who have no root in themselves, like those sown on stony ground, who are offended and fall away. and then those choked with the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches. And so although they spring up, never bring forth any fruit. Well, these things are exceedingly trying to the Lord's dear people. But we have to come to our text, that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Now, dear friends, the truth that divides God's people from the rest is what it is to receive the truth in the heart. It goes deeper than the natural man. And I believe, you see, we can put a difference here between that one who received the seed but had no depth of earth, and so sprang up for a time. My dear friends, if we only receive God's truth in a natural mind and intellect and nothing more than notion, if it goes no further than the flesh, then we are like those who hear with no depth of earth. And so the word only penetrates as far as the natural man is able to receive it, and never really gets into his heart. And if it does, it's that natural heart, the stony heart of nature, which twists and distorts the precious truth. Dear friends, in our text you see it describes an honest and a good heart. And what is that? About that which is given by God, the true grace of God. And as prophesied by Ezekiel, a new heart will I give thee, not the natural, fallen heart of man, but a new heart will I give thee, and a new spirit will I put within thee, and I will take the stony heart out of your flesh and give you an heart of flesh. And that is the heart, dear friends, that we need, and it's not something we will find in ourselves. It is something which is given by God, a principle given by God himself. For we read clearly by the apostle that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And if we have true spiritual life, if we have received the word with spiritual power in the Holy Ghost and with much assurance, we will need this heavenly principle within us. No, I believe, dear friends, it is the fires that reveal the truth of these things, as we read about that one that sprung up with no depth of earth. There is so much, you see, that can seemingly be right in the natural man, and so much that appears to be right. Many gifts, many abilities, many things that appear to be faith and love and hope. But alas, it is a work of nature. Really, every true grace of the Spirit, there is solemnly found in the natural man a counterfeit. And it is these things that God has to reveal to us. And if we have got the root of the matter, friends, the Lord will reveal it to us, and perhaps in the fires we will find this: how much real fruit, how much reality do I possess. Well, the day will declare it. But, oh, the poor people of God, dear friends, will find at the end of the day that they do stand. And although so much is taken from them, there is a root. They are grounded. Their only hope is in Jesus, though everything else falls away around them. Well, the need to be made right, for only these good ground, this good ground, brought forth fruit. Oh, dear friends, it is then to hear and receive the precious truth of the glorious gospel in our heart. And how does this happen? That God should prepare a place there for himself. What need there is of ploughing up that fallow ground, that there be not a sowing among thorns? What a need, dear friends, that poor sinner whom God will bless with an interest in his grace is so emptied and killed to all natural hope, and so brought to the end of the earth, from whence he cries unto the Lord. It is needs be that he pass under the sentence of death, even that holy and condemning law, which thoroughly convinces him that there is no hope in self. And so the apostle says we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raiseth the dead. Or then the Lord will certainly bring his people to a knowledge of sin. And moreover, perhaps affliction by which they are surely shown that they cannot help themselves. And so through these dispensations the Lord is preparing their heart. For whoever desired salvation truly before they felt their woe. For it is true that the poor have the gospel preached to them, that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so it is those, dear friends, whose hearts are made true in this, they are nothing but sin. Nothing but sin. And not one good thing, not one natural grace. No. In the flesh there dwelleth no good thing. But it's these very hearts which are being prepared to receive the glorious gospel of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. The day comes when they will receive it with power. It won't be in word only, but in power. We read of the Thessalonians who received the word of God in much affliction and in joy of the Holy Ghost. And that is how we will receive it. Friends, it will be feelingly in much affliction, the affliction of sin, the feeling death within, the needing of eternal life, the realization that we have to die to stand before a holy God, the realization that we are lost. It is then that we will receive the truth as given by God, the hearts have been prepared. Man's heart by nature is most hard. Hardened, dear friends, impenitent, without any need of God. What a mercy of God has taught us our need. Given us a hunger and thirst to be right. A hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. They won't necessarily fill their hearts to be honest and good. No, not their natural heart. But this, friends, is the work of grace, a pure principle. And we do well if we can see it for a moment. Despite your natural man, your vile heart, is there a pure principle that works within that would be right? The apostle knew that struggle. Oh, the evil that he would not. That was the new man. He did. Yes, and the other way also. The good that he would, he did not. Well, a principle that hates sin. For the fear of the Lord, it hates evil. And this will be found in the heart. Which in an honest and good heart. Well, these poor souls will receive the truth. It's wonderful, friends, where the Lord opens a heart. And only he can do it. And you who have known it, only he can do it again. And so, having heard the word, keep it. We think of Lydia, who went down by the riverside. She heard the gospel as proclaimed by the apostle, and whose heart, we read, the Lord opened. And she received, she attended to the things that were spoken. And so she kept it. Oh, we think of even Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, and how when Simeon spoke to her concerning this child, how she kept it in her heart. Well, perhaps that describes one here. Friend, you may not be able to see much fruit. Oh, but do you keep it? Has the word so touched you that it has impressed its mark upon you you keep it in your heart? For this is where the work begins. Out of the heart, you see, are the issues of life. It begins there, who hear the word and keep it. Well, God gives it. Has it affected us? Has it been nailed there as a nail in a sure place, fastened by the Master of Assemblies? Dear friends, the Lord put his mark there. Having heard the word, keep it. Well, this is then good seed kept in your heart. And although you may keep it seemingly unfruitfully to you, it will bring forth fruit with patience. For it will spring up, it must spring up, even as it is the grain of the gospel. As we read in Mark, that which is the least of all seeds, and yet when it is sown in the earth, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, like a grain of mustard seed, and yet there will be a springing up. The Lord's people may spend many a time seemingly unfruitful. Yet all the while the Lord is so emptying them that he may fill them, that they bring forth this fruit with patience. And this fruit of the Holy Spirit, this the fruits of true grace, they come forth with patience. And how different this is with the compared to the other description of the stony ground, which sprung up quickly and soon withered away. So descriptive of the natural man. And yet the real grace of God is brought forth with patience. And I believe those who are blessed with discernment realize this in the Church of God. Oh, there can be one who seemingly has such small beginnings, and really, perhaps many might despise it. But it's real. And there is a real work going on. And that tillage of the poor, which is plentiful in the end. And as the Spirit works in their heart, and as they are brought a true prayer and confession and need, they bring forth fruit with patience. And not necessarily to the applause of men, not at all, but to the praise of God. And yet what patience is needed. What patience is needed. The Lord's people aren't, you see, those who maybe seem to flourish quickly. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. Is with patience. Oh, we have to wait upon God to give us grace and to water his word by his grace. For whilst there may be that principle of life in the heart, we need the Lord to water it, that it may spring up. We read of this, you see, in the Epistle of James, how he speaks of patience. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. That's what we need, friends. Doesn't mean you have no grace because as yet you feel no fruit or see no fruit. You have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you may inherit the promise. And as the husbandman, you see, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth to receive the early and latter rain. That's how we find it, isn't it? Because it's spiritual life, we need those rains. We need the dew of the an unction of the Holy Spirit. And only he can give spiritual life. Blow upon our garden that the spices may flow out. Spring up, be made manifest. And then we wait, don't we, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. But friend, keep the word. Oh, as much as lieth within you, keep the word, for it will be fruitful. Something in the natural man, when the Lord doesn't appear, he wants to give up. Cast away God's word. Stop attending to the means God has given, the word, to enter in. But keep the word, for you will bring forth fruit with patience. We wait upon God, dear friends, to give life, eternal life. And this he will give. Oh, to be patient for him, the coming of the Lord. That eternal life which is with him. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And it's only as we receive that in our death that we will spring up and be fruitful. We need a resurrection power. For every true grace is from above and a fruit of the work of Jesus Christ. Not a fruit from our own heart, but these are what are described as the fruits of righteousness. They are the fruits which have sprung up from the righteous life and death of Jesus Christ, and we wait for him to give them. Oh, he does give fruit to his poor people. What a mercy, friends, that we have a throne of grace. And he has said, come boldly unto a throne of grace, that you may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, the Lord has sent down that power then. And there is true fruitfulness. But as I say, this is the power of God. And the sinner has to wait upon him with patience. Well, the difference then between this good fruit and the so-called fruits, seeming fruits of the natural man. Well, we read of the fruits of the Spirit in Paul's epistle to the Galatians. He describes them as being love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, the natural professor will have a great, perhaps, show of love. It seems indeed to be most affectionate. But it may, dear friends, prove to be all natural when it comes down to it. For the word describes what true love is, an unfeigned love of the brethren. Not just words, but the apostle put it down to deeds. Oh, to visit the fatherless in their affliction, and widows, to keep oneself unspotted from the world. A true love to God, and not just a man, and lovers of the truth. True love. Oh, yes, you know your natural heart, prone to hardness and hatred and all manner of sin. The true love of God, you know, dear friends. Oh, that true love, which passeth knowledge, to fill your heart and your mind and keep it. through Christ Jesus. Oh, a true love to him as your Saviour and your Redeemer. Jesus so spoke to those who inquired and said, "Thy mother and thy brethren stand without desiring to see thee." He said, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." Oh, the Lord alone can give it. We mentioned joy. Through those Thessalonians, it was this, dear friends, joy of the Holy Ghost in much affliction. An unfeigned faith. Oh, a true and living faith, a precious faith, which God alone is the author of, and although it's seemingly perhaps dim, and yet, what a mercy, though you can't boast much of it, if it's found clinging to and cleaving to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, this is true fruit. But, dear friends, these fruits begin in the heart, in an honest and good heart. It may be a while before man perceives that anything has begun, but it begins there, in the heart. And man believes unto righteousness. With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. He receives it by faith and becomes a true believer in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Now, friends, have you ever found Jesus Christ attractive? Precious. Oh, unto you that believe, he is precious. And then you won't soon go away. This is the true saving faith of God's people. And Christ has been formed in their hearts, the hope of glory. They keep him there. Dear friends, and all that principle of grace, it governs then, from thence, all their thoughts and ways. And they bring forth fruit with patience. What a mercy, dear friends, where it has been so. And how different is this to every other way of receiving the word. Now, the Lord's dear people, as we hinted, will come under the influence of these other grounds. We'll be able to understand the meaning here. Indeed, at times, choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. Or at times under deep temptation, the devil seems to snatch the word from them. Or for a season perhaps they've lost the reality of things and are just hearing the word, comfortable with the sound of it, like those who receive the word with joy, but no death. We may fall into these things. But what does it speak to us, friends? We need God to give us an honest and good heart. We need a new heart. And if this does anything else to us this day, friends, it speaks the necessity of what Christ said. You must be born again. Oh, the necessity of being made right. God to give us then, oh, a a new and upright heart, a heart renewed by grace and washed in the precious blood of Jesus. And how David said, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. What else can wash a man's heart clean but the precious blood of Christ? You who have known it in its power know that nothing else cleansed you, nothing else healed you. It was wash and be clean. And you were washed and clean. The apostle says, such were some of you, but ye are washed. And that's what made you right. Friend, there is a power you see to everyone, a fountain open to everyone. For sin, for uncleanness, every guilty sinner that feels their need. Oh, for sin and for uncleanness. Oh, then, dear friends, this is a heart renewed by grace. Oh, to have it. And it's in this heart that Jesus Christ abides. Well, we need the Lord to so apply his word with power. That we may keep it. Here we are fruitful. Jesus said, if ye abide in me, my words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be given you. There is then that similarity that if we abide in Christ, we will abide in his word. Ye abide in me and my words abide in you. And then this, friends, is a witness to us that we are in the truth. If we can honestly say that his word is springing up within us, and that we are walking under the power of it, that it speaks to us, that it leads us, and is a voice to us, that we are sanctified by it, who hear the word and keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Well, dear friends, this keeping in an honest heart. Oh, it is to come to the light, as we hinted earlier. They that love the truth, know the truth, keep the truth, they come to the light, that their deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. It will not hide from it, though it be searching, though it be painful, for they have this new principle. But they that hate the truth, you see, they don't come to the light. There is that solemn rejection, and a willful rejection of the light that they have seen, of the words that they have heard, and what a necessary reproof then, take heed how ye hear. For with what measure ye hear shall be meted to you again. And so we have to speak by way of warning. And don't we feel it? To whom much is given, shall much be required. And having heard things set so clearly before us, so plainly before us, it will be meted to us again. The Lord will require it. Oh, dear friends, the solemnity of being found then any of these grounds, having heard the will of God in the precious word, and oh, to be found then exercised, to be amongst those who receive it and keep it. Well, this is the work of God. Or just like that crowded inn at Bethlehem, who could not receive Joseph and Mary. It's like the sinner's heart, no room for Christ. There's too much else there, too much getting in the way, and no need of him. Oh, how he was a man despised and rejected of men. Oh, we would not have this man to reign over us. That is the cry of the world and your worldly heart. We won't hear what he has to say. We won't listen to his voice. That's what the world says. Away with him. Away with him. But Christ has said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life. They hear the word. Thou hast the words of eternal life. We are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Have you received it as such? Not as the word of man, but as the word of God. Is to hear his voice. So the Apostle Paul was anxious in all his ministry not to use words of man's wisdom, for he said it must stand in the power of God. And it wasn't his voice, but the Lord's voice. This is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. This is still the voice of God. But have you heard the voice of the Son of God? For it even is so in this our day. Christ has said, the day cometh, ye shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Have you heard it? Having heard the word, keep it. Well, that is the proof, friend, of having heard, truthfully heard. And there is then this tremendous change and bring forth fruit with patience. Well, only the voice of God can effect this change. He who can command the dead to live. And it is to him then that we must look in all our need. There is a way, dear friends, in which you see the Lord's people, despite all their inability, seek to till their land, for seeing their need, they lay up prayers. And they beg God to appear. They beg him to work. But we do need the Lord to send those rains. For without them we dry up. We're like a withered branch. Until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high. He says, does he not in me? is your fruit found. Now, this is the perfect fruit, friends. For we read, did we not? Well, we do read in the 14th verse of those who, amongst the thorns, bring no fruit to perfection. But Christ has said in me is your fruit found. And all your fruit, friend, will not be anything to do with you, but only through the merits of Jesus. Oh, he alone is well pleasing to God. He alone is that root out of a dry ground. And although men see no comeliness in him, he is the root out of a dry ground. Oh, dear friends, this is the root and offspring of David, which has sprung up in this barren wilderness, this sin-stricken world. This is the fruit we each need. Fruit to God's praise. And to God's glory, it comes only from the righteousness, the merits of Jesus. And I say a fruit of the precious seed, the incorruptible seed of God's word implanted in a sinner's heart. Well, we see, do we not, the truth that it is all of grace? And the Lord must blow upon us, so work in us to receive it, and then blow upon us to bring it out, make it evident that we are amongst his people. Oh, we would see fruitfulness. We would see a springing up. And that of the Holy Spirit's work, which only God can give, that which cometh from above, down from heaven, from the Lord Jesus himself, who is exalted for to give repentance and remission of sin, who alone fills the throne of grace, he who is full of truth and grace. It is there, friends, that we must wait with patience. Oh, before his throne, as poor needy sinners begging him for mercy, begging him for help. Oh, dear friends, we mustn't be ashamed of this. You know, we read in one of the parables, I believe later on in this gospel of the man who was an unjust steward and put out of his stewardship, and he said, "To beg, I am ashamed." But here we have to come, friends, in all our poverty. Oh, to not be so proud as not to beg, but ask the Lord Jesus to send down all that we feel we need. He has all power in heaven and upon earth, and he has said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Well, we need much grace. All to be found in this text, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £770, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Fred Ince next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 962. Come, dearest Lord, and melt my heart, thy animating power impart, blessed source of life divine. Jesus, thy love alone can give the will to rise, the power to live, for every grace is thine. 962.
Thank you.
Do pardon all that thou hast seen amiss with us this morning hour. Do bless thine own holy word of truth. And do, we pray, according to thy will, come amongst us this evening hour. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost abide with us. Amen.